This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Whether brought on by a good joke in the moment or a remembered one at a completely inappropriate time, laughter is part of being human. But why do we laugh? Is there a physiological reason behind the giggles? An evolutionary one? Here to explain why our funny bone gets tickled is cognitive neuroscientist Scott Weems, the author of Ha! The Science of When We Laugh and Why. Scott, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with a joke from the late comedian Mitch Hedberg. I'd like you to listen and then explain why our brain processes this as funny.
Hey, I bought myself a parrot. The parrot talked, but it did not say I'm hungry, so it died.
All right, Scott, what do you think? Can you work with that?
Yeah, wow. So, I mean, that joke, it's obviously kind of dark and edgy. I think that joke probably is funny to some of us because it comes close to that sweet spot that we like our jokes to have a little bit of edge, but too much and they threaten us. So I think fortunately we all know that our animals are not going to starve because they don't know how to ask to be fed. So it's not that threatening, but it's just enough to put us on edge, I guess.
Well, how does humor actually happen in the brain? I mean, you make a, I think one of your chapters begins with somebody saying that it's easier to read a book about humor than to describe it. What is going on? What's happening that makes us find something funny?
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated. I think if it was something simple or if there was a rule or a formula, I think we would have discovered it a long time ago. When really, I think it's a psychological process, humor is. And it comes down to in our brain, without getting too technical, there's one region of the brain called the anterior cingulate that detects conflict. This is a brain region that's very active when something surprises us or puts us on edge, kind of just basically makes us have to reconcile what's going on. And so that makes humor a bit of a process of discovery. I mean, we enjoy being thrown off a little bit, and we really enjoy putting things back together again, which is what most jokes do. And I'm not sure exactly how I would compare that with the parrot dying joke, but I mean, I think we all realize that parrots probably aren't going to die of starvation, so that's kind of why it's a little bit funny.
Well, okay, so our mind is kind of reckoning something and being resolved. So explain to us a little bit about some of the research you found on the evolutionary role that humor and laughter played for human beings and why it actually meant something for their survival.
Sure, yeah, I think humor is very important, evolutionary speaking, and for our survival. I mean, it's probably on the same level as intelligence and creativity. And it really comes down to, this is a very advanced thing that we do when we get a joke. Even linking to the parrot joke we were talking about before. This takes some work to figure out what is originally intended and then what is actually the truth of the joke. And so, I mean, there's some benefits to be able to do that and relatively fast, which is why when you ask people, who do they look for in a mate? What are the main traits? For women particularly, the number one trait is always sense of humor. That tends to win. For men, it's a little bit lower sometimes after looks and intelligence. And so I think the reason for sense of humor being so important is we recognize that someone with a sense of humor has a brain that can go through and work things out pretty fast, sometimes very fast. And that's a good thing to have in a mate, particularly if you're trying to guess who's, you know, worth keeping around for the long haul and help raise the children.
Well, is humor a sign of intelligence? Were Neanderthals not telling jokes, whereas Homo sapiens did? I mean, is it that anterior cingulate? Is it a more complex brain that can handle humor?
Yeah, you know, actually, it's a controversial topic. And I don't know if we'll ever know about primitive man if you know, he told jokes. But we can look at animals who are a good comparison. And these brain regions we share with apes and even rats and dogs. And we see all of these creatures laugh. We know rats laugh. We know apes laugh. Dogs laugh. Even penguins laugh. I spoke to one researcher. That's what he does for a living, is he tickles rats. And it sounds silly at first and maybe even trivial, but it's not, because he's trying to understand depression. And if he can understand what makes a rat laugh, you're on your way to understanding what makes people laugh too. Now, whether they have a sense of humor or not, it would be tricky. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what a rat would find funny, but there are stories of apes, and this is where it gets really controversial, but I'm a believer that apes have a different kind of sense of humor than us, but I think they do have. They enjoy a good joke. It's just theirs is very different because they don't have language.
Now, are certain types of humor universal among human cultures?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing, laughter is certainly universal. Everybody laughs, and it doesn't matter where you're from, or even if you've ever seen it before. And I think everybody has a sense of humor. And the funny thing is there's a particular kind of sense of humor that seems to be very common across the globe, and it's like this insult or kind of edgy humor where you're kind of making fun of other people. It doesn't have to be cruel. I mean, we very seldom pick on the lowest or the most at-risk members of our society when we joke about them. But we certainly make fun of lawyers and politicians and people, even sometimes from different ethnic groups just than us. And, I mean, some jokes are inappropriate, and some jokes are kind of telling. I guess one example I like to bring up is lawyer jokes, that we don't laugh at doctors, but we certainly laugh at lawyers.
Huh.
And I think part of the reason is we have mixed feelings about lawyers. I mean, doctors we kind of look at with only positive views, but lawyers have mixed views, and I think that's why we laugh at them.
Are there certain things, you mentioned a profession, but things that might be considered funny everywhere?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. Jokes, if they succeed, they'll tend to succeed everywhere. So Richard Wiseman, he's a British psychologist, and he was interested to see what cultural differences there are in humor taste, and also if there are things like gender differences too. And so essentially he set up a website and asked people to submit their favorite jokes and also rate other people's jokes to see how they like them. And he got from that just over a million responses. He got tons of data to work with, which is great because that allows for some very specific analysis. So he found that British taste and humor were a little more absurd, American taste a little more aggressive. Scandinavians, ironically, tend to end their jokes with the words ha-ha at the end to, like, reassure the people, you know, oh, you've just
like
encountered
a joke. Like
a text message? Yeah, like just in case you didn't know, that was a joke. So maybe they're a little uneasy about their humor. But he did also find what I guess science says is the funniest joke in the world.
Let's hear it.
Okay. According to Richard Wiseman, a psychologist, this is the funniest joke in the world. Two hunters are off in the woods, and all of a sudden one of them just collapses, falls to the ground, and his eyes are glazed over and he's not breathing. So his partner, of course, is panicked. Like, oh my gosh, what do I do? So he called 911, and the operator picks up, yes, sir, what's your emergency? And the hunter says, oh, my gosh, I think my friend is dead. What do I do? And the operator, very calm, says, okay, sir, calm down. First, I need you to check and make sure that he's dead. And so there's a pause on the other line, and then a bam, and the guy comes back. Okay, that's done. Now what? I'll say I'm
that's
a scientist,
funny.
Not a comedian, so part of it, you know, I'm not a professional person delivering it. Maybe if a pro is delivering it, maybe it's funnier. It usually gets a chuckle.
All right, we're going to get to that later, you not being a comedian, but let me first say that we're speaking with Scott Weems. He's a research scientist at the University of Maryland and author of a new book called Ha! The Science of When We Laugh and Why. Actually, how would you say it? Would you say, ha! The science...
It does have an exclamation
how
point.
Do you
which
say,
I,
how do you yeah. read the title, Scott?
I let other people do it for me.
Oh, come
on. I like
how
everybody does it differently. But I'll go with your ha.
Ha!
It needs to be loud and assertive. The exclamation point was my wife's idea, and I say that was genius.
Ha! The Science of When We Laugh and Why. It's a book title that makes you laugh in itself. Well, laughter is not always the result of a joke, though. There are some neurological explanations for laughing in inappropriate situations because of things going on in the brain. But maybe get to something that's a little more common to us. You know, laughing, my sisters and I used to call church laughter when we just couldn't stop laughing in church or at a funeral, you know, a really inappropriate time. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is most of the time that we laugh. We often think of humor as just the process of telling jokes, but it's so much more than that. That's why I like looking at it as a psychological process. We joke at terrible times sometimes. Like I myself, one of the reasons I wanted to write the book is I laughed at my grandfather's funeral along with my cousins. And like, it's just terrible, you know, sometimes. And my wife broke out in laughter at the end of Titanic when Leonardo DiCaprio was drowning because she found the sentimentality just kind of overwhelming and funny. I think these are signs, first, that we're normal, so we shouldn't feel bad about that. And I think it's also why humor doesn't follow a formula or a rigid structure. It's really just a coping process. It's how we deal with our emotions, and it's a very adaptive thing. We should be very happy that we laugh so much at these things, because the alternative would be to cry, and that's not as healthy.
Oh, I remember being at the very somber occasion of my friend Katie's mother's funeral, and Katie was up there in the front row, and the officiant came up, and I think he was one of these people, you know, you sort of rent for the occasion because she wasn't a particularly religious person, and said, There are times for laughter and there are times for mourning. This is one of those times. And I could just see Katie's shoulders start to sort of bounce up and down in the front row, and I just couldn't stop laughing. That's how it happens.
That happens a lot. I've had people through my website, because I've told stories like they share their own personal stories of laughing at funerals and whatnot, and some of them have had me falling on the floor laughing, just even though I wasn't there, but just I get it. There's times and that's just what we have to do.
Are there certain types of people who are funnier than others?
There are, but it's not who you would think, and it's not always. It doesn't always sound like good news, but a little bit of neuroticism is a good thing when it comes to humor. And this catches people by surprise and makes them worry because they think, oh, no, does that mean I'm neurotic? But it's not a pathology I'm talking about. It's a spectrum. And so we all lie somewhere between completely stable and completely neurotic. And studies have found, Paul Pearson, a British psychologist, he actually looked at cartoonists and found that the most successful ones were higher on the neurotic scale. So it's not always bad to be on edge. It's a good thing. We can use that. And humor is a great way to kind of get that out of our system in a healthy way.
Well, hypothetically, could you look at the brain of a person, examining their brain, could you tell if they're more prone to joke telling?
Yeah, you can. I mean, you can show people jokes. Some of the best jokes for doing this are the really absurd ones that are hard to make sense of, sort of like the old two ducks are floating in a pond, and one of them says quack, and the other says, I was going to say that. No, that's a very absurd kind of joke. And no matter how much you think about it, you're not going to really get it, right? Because it's just that weird. You give people a joke like that, and you monitor their brain. You know, you put them in an MRI scanner, and you look at how active their brains are. People who we call sensation seekers, these are people who basically very active in life. They seek out new situations, new experiences in life. Their brains are going to keep working to get the joke, more than someone who's a little bit more passive in their excitement threshold, I guess. And so it kind of shows that the more we look for intellectual engagement, the more we look to be pushed, the more our brains will respond to things like humor.
You've looked into research on a couple of different breakdowns on which type of people get jokes and even gender. Give us a little bit of the breakdown on gender.
Yeah, gender is a really tricky one here because, there are definitely differences in how men and women approach humor. Men outnumber women quite a bit in professional comedy. I think one study found maybe 12% of professional comedians are women. But that certainly doesn't mean that women have less of a sense of humor, because we also know that women laugh more than men. And there have been studies that have essentially gone out and eavesdropped on people in coffee shops and subways and seen that two women talking together will laugh twice as much as two men. If you look at the brains, and there have been people that have done this, looked at male and female brains while processing jokes, it turns out, and this is simplifying a little bit, but the results get kind of complicated, that women's brains are a little more active, even for jokes that are less funny, that kind of you have had a lot of that punch taken out. And so one way to interpret that data is women's brains work harder to try and get the humor, whereas men kind of come to humor with an expectation, and if they don't find it funny, they give up a little bit quicker. So, I think you definitely can't say that women have less of a sense of humor. It could be an environmental thing where women are just not pushed to go into comedy or to assert themselves in a comedic way as much as men are.
Well, it does take some courage and maybe some socialization to stand up in front of an audience and tell jokes. You gave it a try, Scott, when you're writing this book. What did you say about it, that your wife looked at you as if you were going to try out for the Red Sox just because you know their batting averages?
Yeah, it was that look that, you know, your dog gives you when you say you've lost your car keys, that just, you know, just what? What do you want to do? She was definitely skeptical.
So what'd you learn? And,
I learned that I'm not going to be a professional comedian. Mm-hmm. I didn't do terribly, but I came pretty close to terrible, I guess. I didn't do well. But part of it was, I knew I wouldn't. My goal wasn't to necessarily be a professional comedian, but what I wanted to learn was what does it feel like to be in front of an audience and try these things. And I learned that some things like rhythm, they just take practice, and just learning how to hold a microphone and tell jokes take practice. But at the same time, there were moments when it just felt great. These few moments when I got laughs and I connected with the audience, and I can see why comedians seek it out. And fortunately, I'm okay with not being a stand-up comedian. I had no interest in going into that because the research shows that just appreciating and surrounding yourself with humor is enough to get the benefits. So I'm just going to be happy with that.
Well, Scott Weems, we for one are glad you didn't quit your day job. I mean, wrote a great book. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Scott Weems, author of Ha! The Science of When We Laugh and Why. You'll find more in his book at wordofmouthradio.org. Well, while psychics and the paranormal may often wind up as the butt of jokes, a recent Harris poll revealed that 29% of Americans have faith in astrological readings. Up next, NHBR's Sean Hurley samples what's on offer from New Hampshire's psychic community.